We're joined by Greta Zarro, who's with World Beyond War, and she is one of the presenters at 9:50 at the Qantari Peace Conference on Saturday, September 18th, talking about the looming climate collapse. And Greta, we've had you on the show before, but why don't you give people a brief introduction to World Beyond War, and then, you know, what's your message going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. I'm the organizing director with World Beyond War, which is a global grassroots network. We have members in 192 countries worldwide advocating for the abolition of the institution of war and its replacement with a just and sustainable peace. And at the Qatari conference on Saturday, the 18th of September, I'll be talking about what I call my two-prong approach. Which is number one, policy advocacy and grassroots organizing to change the system that we live in, such as lobbying for policies to reduce the military budget. But number two, also to do the hands-on work of regenerating our communities, such as through farming and looking at where we purchase our energy and moving towards solar, for example, which is the other hat that I wear. I'm based in upstate New York in Otsego County, where I also run a nonprofit education farm.
What are some of the policy advocacy positions? Obviously, you know, World Beyond War wants to be slashing the military budgets, stop, you know, foreign intervention. But how does your policy advocacy, you know, address the climate issue?
Yeah, well, what's so unique about World Beyond War's work is that we are very holistic and intersectional in our approach. So we show how war is really at the nexus of so many issues, and the U.S. military is the leading contributor to climate change. For example, the U.S. military is the top institutional consumer of oil on the planet. So it's very connected, and that's part of what we'll be talking about at the Qatari conference, is to try to connect these dots and show people that if you're a climate change activist, you're also an anti-war activist, and we have to reduce the military if we want to make changes on any of these other issues.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody else recently, and they made the connection about how both, you know, the military and the fossil fuel industry are both, you know, extractive, you know, industries or extractive enterprises, which basically extract the resources often from third world, less developed countries, often, you know, people of color, and very much a connection between racism and the drive both for military and for climate exploitation.
Absolutely. And we also see a big intersection with the mining industry. There's so many instances of places where mining is happening. And then we also see an increase in militarism and conflict, violent conflict in those areas too.
And you also talked about hands-on regeneration, and you mentioned particularly some of the work you've been doing around agriculture, but what are some of the ways that World Beyond War, you know, promotes or, I guess, engage in that regeneration?
Yeah, our central campaign on that front is divestment, weapons divestment. So examining where you are banking, where you are putting your retirement funds, and making sure that you're not propping up weapons manufacturers through your investments. And you can really scale this out, not just at the individual level, but also looking at the institutions that you work with. For example, university endowment, unions, your employer, et cetera, and then scaling up from there, looking at municipal investments, state pension funds, that kind of thing.
And what are some of the things you're doing with agriculture, and how are you relating that to climate change?
Yeah, so we run a program at Unadilla Community Farm for young people that come on the farm and learn basically various skills to be more self-sufficient and sustainable, including how to grow their own food, where to source their energy, how to build their own infrastructure using natural methods. And this is really, you know, connected to anti-war activism in my mind, because fundamentally it's about reducing our dependency on purchased inputs, on multinational corporations and the military industrial complex. So it is a form of divestment and learning, relearning these types of skills so that we can be more sustainable on the individual and community level.
So a big part of this conference, the Qatari Peace Conference, Saturday, September 18th, Code Red Planet, you know, is making that linkage between the climate and the military. And to be honest, I do hear a fair number of peace activists, especially leadership, you know, making that connection. I hear it less so being said by climate leaders, especially of the, you know, sort of more big mainstream groups with staff and funding. How do you think, you know, that coalition building has been going between the climate and the peace movement?
Yeah, I think it is a real struggle, and it connects to the fact that militarism is really embedded in our culture. And at World Beyond War, we have a book that talks about the alternative global security system, and it lays out the strategies that we need to get to that alternative system. And one of those core strategies is building a culture of peace. And that really involves changing the messaging we use, even the language that we use on a daily basis, the films that we watch, which are all very militarized. And so I think that in many ways, you know, militarism is just off the table for so many environmental groups and larger NGOs. It's just something people don't even think about, even though it's right in front of our faces in every aspect of society.
Now, the Qatari Peace Conference, Qatari, K-A-T-E-R-I, peaceconference.org, being done primarily virtually this Saturday, so people can go on the web and register and link. But, you know, what do you hope comes out of the 23rd annual Qatari Peace Conference this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm so excited to be connecting with other activists and connecting the dots, as we've been talking about. So I'm really looking forward to the dialogue, and especially the last session of the conference will be an interactive session where we'll hear from all of the presenters together as well as audience members. So I think there'll be a lot of fruitful ideas that come from that discussion.
So since your name, World Beyond War, honestly, withdrawing troops from Afghanistan and at least getting the military American out of there, probably something that World Beyond War, you know, thought about. How do you explain to the Irish people who may complain, well, yeah, that makes sense, but boy, that was really chaotic and we left too many people behind in Afghanistan. Looks like it may have been premature to withdraw the troops.
Yeah, our messaging is that a military solution is never the answer. And we have so many fact sheets and data points on our website that point to the fact that, you know, a military solution is just never causes any benefits. And it is more detrimental economically, environmentally, socially, et cetera. And there are so many other alternatives. And that's part of our work too, is to showcase successful examples of nonviolent peacekeeping, which have happened around the world. And you're probably familiar with the work of Erica Chenoweth and Maria Stefan, which has showed that nonviolent resistance is twice as successful as violence.
Now, I'm of the generation that grew up during the Vietnam War. And obviously, at that point, a lot of the, at least public faces of resistance were relatively young people, perhaps probably because they were facing the draft. What's the age demographics and cultural demographics these days of the peace movement? Is it still young people? Do you got communities of color joining in? How is that working out?
You know, I think it does tend to be older folks who, you know, it makes sense. They have more time on their hands to attend Zoom conferences and to volunteer their time. So I think that has been a struggle as well, and not just for the anti-war movement, but for so many other movements as well. But interestingly, we have started to see a revival of young people getting involved in anti-war activism, and World Beyond War recently launched a World Beyond War Youth Network for young people under the age of 30. And then also other organizations, Code Pink has launched its own peace collective for young people. And we're seeing other organizations launch similar initiatives. So I think there is a revival happening, which is really exciting.
Well, we've been talking with Greta Zarrow, the organizing director for World Beyond War, worldbeyondwar.org, Qatari Peace Conference, Saturday, September 18th. And this has been Mark Dunlay for the Hudson Mohawk Radio